Welcome to Learn to Live Stress-Free. This is Christine Wright with Dr. Robert Wright Jr., your go-to wellness coaches of www.stressfreenow.info. Our featured guest today is Wayne Manning, speaking on the value for new coaches of having a mentor coach. Wayne Manning became a coach instructor and course leader for the Academy of Coaching Excellence upon graduation from its first graduating class of certified coaches in 2003. He leads or co-leads all of the core coach training courses and serves as a mentor coach for Academy student coaches. Wayne works closely with Academy founder, author, renowned life coach, and clinical psychologist, Dr. Maria Nemeth. Together, they develop and conduct coach training workshops and seminars and continuing education webinars for aspiring coaches, as well as experienced professional coaches. Their work at the Academy for Coaching Excellence attracts participants and coaches from across the United States and around the world. Wayne also has his own private coaching practice, Manning Coaching and Consulting, in Auburn, California. He is a longtime member of the Auburn Chamber of Commerce and served as president of the chamber in 2014. Wayne is a graduate of the rigorous credentialing program of the Academy for Coaching Excellence. He is certified by the Academy as a coach and currently serves the Academy as a faculty member and course leader. He is also a member of the International Coach Federation and has earned the designation of professional certified coach for that body. Wayne is an ordained Unity minister with 25 years' experience as a field minister, teacher, and administrator. He served on the Board of Trustees of Unity School of Christianity in Missouri and on the International Board of Trustees for the Association of Unity Churches. Wayne has been involved in coaching since 1996, both as a learner and a facilitator. Coaching helped him achieve one of his fondest dreams, becoming a certified flight instructor. Wayne, I think, is an all-around Renaissance man. Wayne, we're very happy to have you here. Audience, welcome. Bob and I know that you're truly going to enjoy listening to all that Wayne has to share.
I listened to you read that, Christine, and I was thinking, I would love to know that guy. Who is that guy?
It's you. It's spectacular you.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, who is that unmasked man? Wonderful. Wayne, welcome, and welcome to our audience, and you are in for a treat. We have Wayne, the supermaster coach here. And so, Wayne, let's start us off here with, let me ask you this question. What led you to the work that you're currently doing?
When we say Maria, there's a woman named Maria Nemeth who has been very instrumental in my life in the last couple of decades. She is the founder and director of the Academy for Coaching Excellence that, Christine, you talked about a moment ago. And when I came to Sacramento originally in 1995 in a capacity of Unity minister in a local Sacramento church, and sort of as things happen almost by accident in a way, although looking back, nothing like that's accidental, but I found myself in one of Maria's seminars, and it really impacted me. I've been fortunate to go to a lot of trainings in my career, expensive stuff like American Management Association and those kinds of things. You know, and I love them, and in the moment of taking them, they were great. It was good stuff. Get home, back to my office, put the manual on the shelf, and never open it again. And sort of this stuff would fade. Well, when I took this thing from Maria in 1996, I've never closed the book. It was that impactful. And as time went on and she decided to organize a training program, I was there, you know, sort of at the ground floor of that. And what I was looking for, I love to work with people. I've been working with people as a minister for a number of years, and I knew that I was going to be retiring at some point, and coaching was a perfect sort of segue. And the school was established, and I realized I could actually get some legitimate training to become a coach, I jumped at it. And so for the last 3 years or so of my ministerial work, I was also developing my coaching skills and developing a coaching practice. And then when my wife and I were co-ministers for a long time, and I didn't have any desire to minister without her as a solo. And so when we both decided to retire, we retired her fully and we got me involved in the coaching, which, is, like I said, was a perfect segue to still supporting people, but now I don't have to take care of a building. And that's a big thing. And I'm not on quite 7/24 like most ministers are. I have reasonable working hours. So
that's really great. So you got the best of both worlds, working with people in manageable hours. You know, Wayne, Bob and I had interviewed Maria, and as we had mentioned before this broadcast, I met her quite some years ago, and she had that same impact on me.
Yeah.
The workshop that I attended, I was fortunate enough to be, you know, volunteered for a short demonstration, and I watched Maria work with other people before she worked with me. When she worked with me, she was asking me questions I was answering, and I didn't realize everybody else in the room did, that I wasn't really answering the questions. And it was so much fun and a growth experience in a short period of time with Maria pinning me down. And this experience for me, as you said, in other workshops, it was different. Could you tell us a little bit? This is an aspect of coaching that I've learned in my own training, this aspect of questioning. Could you tell our audience, for those who may not be as familiar with coaching, either as a coachee or a coach, could you describe what coaching is?
Yeah, coaching is a, let me begin it this way. A coach, a really conscious coach, will first of all establish a framework in which the client can be made comfortable, so the client can breathe and start looking at things that might be difficult to look at, such as the way I might avoid answering a particular kind of question. So a good coach will create that kind of welcoming environment for a client, because most clients, when they come for coaching, they're coming to coaching because something isn't working, a dream isn't being fulfilled, they're stopping themselves from taking action they know they should be taking. So something isn't working. And what's going to be important is developing a capacity to look at something not working directly and begin to develop some strategies to take it in a different direction. So, and coaches elicit that kind of looking by asking certain kinds of questions, so that the coach isn't the expert on the subject matter. The coach is an expert in asking the kind of questions that will support the client in looking at something they may not have looked at before, in the kind of environment where they can do that and feel safe in doing it. It's a little bit different. A consultant better know something about the subject matter, because he or she is being paid to understand the widget and fix the broken widget. A coach doesn't need to know what the client is up to in terms of what their dream or goal is. The coach is supporting the client in looking at what they need to be doing next. What's the next smart thing, the next small, sweet action one can take towards something that's very dear to them. So it's that kind of process of discovery. First of all, finding out what is really important to the client, and then secondly, how do we get from thinking about it being important to demonstrating its importance in your life, so that you're living that, not just thinking about it or regretting something that you didn't do like that. I hope I'm not rambling too much with that.
You're not rambling, and I think that's very clear, because there is confusion among some people, just even in using the term or saying that you're a coach, and they're, what's a coach? Are you going to tell me what to do? I think there's some people in our listening audience who may still have a thought of, oh, a coach will tell me what to do, how to fix me or fix my life. So what you said was very, very clear.
And there are certain kinds of coaching, you know, where that is true. Physical coaches of one kind or another, golf coaches, football coaches, there's a fair amount of telling the client what to do. So that's a sort of combination of coaching and consulting. But, you know, even I think where we get the metaphor coach in my business, the very best athletic coaches also coach the person, not the sport, not the skill. not the performance directly. They coach the person so that the person begins to believe in themselves more than they ever have before. And that's the heart of coaching, I think, is supporting a person to see themselves. You know, most of us have this, you know what I mean when I say we have these internal negative conversations often?
Yes.
Of course, I don't have those myself anymore. Right? No, everybody has that, and let me turn that thing off. Everybody has that, and those are the kinds of things that can stop us in our tracks. And when an athletic coach is coaching an athlete, it's often more about coaching them to believe in themselves and seeing themselves differently than achieving a certain level of skill. And so what I'm about when I'm coaching people about their lives is supporting them in seeing themselves differently. They're more than just that internal conversation. That's the way our brains work. We're far bigger than that midnight conversation we have looking at the ceiling, counting the tiles or whatever, because of what we didn't do that day or what dumb stuff we did that day. You know, all that conversation, that's just the way our brain works. We're far bigger than that. And seeing that, I think, is the heart of coaching. Because, you know, you and I can do a whole lot when we're just willing to do the next thing, no matter what our brain is saying to us. And I'm using brain specifically rather than mind. Our brain is the organ that has synaptic firings that sometimes don't support us that much. And so
that's
we learn
true.
To handle those synaptic firings in a different way.
Very true, very true. Yes, the brain is alive, and it will take us places unless we say, hey, come back here.
Oh, it will. It loves to.
Now, in speaking from the perspective of the work that the other aspect of the work that you're involved with training coaches, what's the value and the benefit of a coach having a structured training program?
That's such a great question. I'm just looking at my own experience. When I was, you know, I'd been practicing as a minister for a long time. I was, you know, as expert as I was in that field, I was, you know, I knew how to do that and working with people in that particular way. And when I got into coaching, I saw more clearly than I ever had before when someone comes and sits in front of me and wants coaching. And as I said before, something isn't working. It's almost always about something that's very important to them that isn't happening, and they want it to happen. There's this sense that I am holding their dream right in the palm of my hand. And that is a precious opportunity. I was going to say responsibility. I don't want to make it heavy, but it's a precious opportunity when we are holding someone's dream like that. And so when I saw that, I saw that I needed to get the best possible training that I could get so that I could do that well. And it was different in that sense than the ministerial skills I had. I was able to use those. But this whole coaching thing hit me differently. When I saw that it was people's dreams I was working with time after time after time, I wanted the best training I could get, and Maria's training and Maria's school was the route I chose. It was the one I encountered first, and I never saw any reason to look at another training program. And so, and I had in our work, we have what we call mentor coaches. So I had a coach that supported me through my training who had been down that trail before. And that was great guidance. And one of the things I do today is I'm a mentor coach now for the Academy, supporting students through their training program, you know, a decade later. And it's a terrific opportunity to support people who for the first time are finding themselves in a very vulnerable place of working with people's goals and dreams directly, and how important an opportunity that is. So, and I'm always looking to improve those skills in whatever way I can. Past a certain point of the training, it just comes with experience, and it's like on-the-job training. I learn what doesn't work. I try not to do that again. And when I do things that surprise me that do work, I try to remember them and then, of course, pass that on to the students as well. Is that helpful? I'm saying
that's
it
very
in a
helpful, clear way. And I like how organic that sounds. You know, one of the things that I always like to say to my clients is do what works. And it gets, you know, they have to discover what works. But when you discover it, there's something that sometimes we don't remember it. And I found that with some people, they have a practice that worked, and for some reason they forgot it. However, it got lost in the muddle of their lives. And I'll say, well, was there a time when you did do this thing that you're no longer doing? And they'll say, oh, yes. And then when I ask them to describe it, they remember. And, okay, so you do have a winning practice and a strategy here that you can use. When you mentor coaches, Wayne, is there something particular that you have in mind that you want to guide them through, or do you just meet them with things as it comes up in their practice? Are there specific steps and stages in mentor coaching?
There are. Usually the person is coming, if they come to our program, they're coming with no prior coach training. That isn't always true, but it almost always is. And so what I'm looking for early on in the relationship, does the person have a bent for this? You know, are they wired to take what we're teaching them and apply it in a way that's going to be useful? Frankly, not everybody is. They're wired for something else. But what I look for is, does this person have a coach's heart? That's the metaphor I use. Because here's the thing for me. A person who has the heart of a coach, that means they're sort of they already have a developed sense of compassion for people. They understand what it's like to fail and pick up and do it again and succeed. They already have that sort of experience and energy field around them. A person who has that, I can help them acquire sufficient skills to be productive as a coach. A person who doesn't have that, I don't care how many skills they pick up, you know, they can do the ABCs, they won't be effective as a coach because it won't land with people. If the heart space is missing, and that's a very intangible thing, but if the heart space is missing, it gets academic, it gets kind of calculated, it gets formulaic, and it just doesn't work. A coach with the heart of a coach can coach almost by the seat of their pants, and something magic will happen because of the things that I mentioned already.
I hear it in your voice. You know, I hear the enthusiasm. I hear it in your voice. It carries me, the excitement of it, of the work. And I've always,
you know, and it's like for me, it's like a very helpful metaphor for me is coaching is a dance. The coach and client are dancing together, and it isn't a two-step or a waltz with predictable steps. It's a jazz dance.
Yes.
And the coach wants to keep that in mind always. The client is leading, but the coach is guiding, if I can make a distinction between those two things.
Yes.
The client leads, the coach guides.
Right. And, you know, you said something earlier, which I think is very important, about setting that framework. And in setting that framework, the language that Maria uses in her books, The Energy of Money and Mastering Life's Energies, and certainly with a workshop that I took with her, those phrases were so helpful about taking the small, sweet steps and being willing and telling the truth. Those little phrases that you could use to anchor yourself, to focus yourself, to center yourself, this idea of living, you know, the life of clarity, focus, ease, and grace.
Absolutely.
So those are so helpful. Could you tell us some more of the unique characteristics of the Academy Coaching Program?
I think the thing that may separate us from most other schools, at least the ones I'm aware of, is we have what Maria has described as an ontological model, which has very little psychological components in it. And I think she was able to make that distinction because she herself is a trained clinical psychologist. And she was able to draw a sharp distinction between psychology or therapy and her particular kind of coaching. So we call it an ontological model. And what that means to me, just in a broad sense, there's a kind of wisdom thread or spiritual thread, we might say, that runs through the Academy's coaching model. And when I say spiritual thread, it has nothing to do with religion or any particular kind of practice. It does have to do with that wisdom tradition that we as a people have inherited from our past, and using what works in transformation for people and codifying that in such a way that we can develop skills around it. And so that might be the most unique thing we do, so that it isn't—it's more of an art than it is a science in that sense. Sometimes I wish it were a science; we could bottle it and sell it, you know. But it doesn't work that way. It's more—it's more of an art, and teaching people how to practice their art as coaches, and then teaching clients how to practice their art as human beings on a quest, you know. We call them. Oh, we borrow liberally from Joseph Campbell, who, you remember, he was a great.
Yes, I enjoyed that series.
Yeah, he wrote, his book was A Hero with a Thousand Faces, and Joe Campbell, he saw something that was consistent in every mythology in every culture, and that is that every culture had its own version of hero. What is a hero? Hero is a person who goes out, finds something marvelous, and brings it back and shares it with the community. And Joe Campbell says we're all heroes on a hero's journey. And what is it like to find our hero's path? And so that's what our coaching is about, is supporting people in finding their hero's path. And you know what? When a person looks out and doesn't see a path, then they're on it. Because if we see a path, it's someone else's. But we don't see it and take that next step. I'm always reminded of Harrison Ford as is it the Last Crusade, where he steps off the precipice onto the invisible bridge?
Yes.
The Last Crusade, going after the Grail. Well, that's what it's like, you know, to support people in seeing they can take that step into the unknown with lots of support and lots of courage. They can do it. And the path will appear as we make it for ourselves.
Well, you know, thank you, Wayne. I think the secret ingredient in the sauce is just that. There is this spiritual aspect, this ontological aspect to our lives, and we may not name it or define it, but it's there, and that is that little bit of mystery where you need to bring the wisdom to the table.
And our model appeals to that mystery. Even though we can't explain it, you know, it's hard to verbalize it in a concrete kind of way, but it's something that we all can sense, and those of us who sense it find ourselves at home in this particular coaching model.
Well, Wayne, I've been listening in, and I'm going to do like that comic book character, what he used to say, flame on.
Flame on.
Well,
yeah.
I want to tell our audience why my flame has come on, and it's burning brightly, because once you said that underlying foundationally the ACE coaching program is ontology and ontological issues that, you know, basically, for anyone not familiar with that, it has to do with ways of knowing. You know, how do we know what we know or think what we know? And so that would intersect with epistemology, and we don't have to, you know, get all geeky or anything like that. But the thing is, it's important. I bringing this back down to the ground, I want to ask you this question. And so this is a big question, Wayne. So I know you're a really smart guy, and so I believe you can answer this. One of the things that is unclear to many people is what are the distinctions or similarities between coaching and therapy and pastoral counseling. And so since you've been a minister and you're also a coach, and Maria's been a clinical psychologist, can you briefly you know, help us out here? Because I think it's really important to, you know, I have my own view and Christine has her view. I think our audience could benefit from a clear discussion of, okay, well, why is coaching not therapy, and how is it different, and how is that different than what you did as a minister, or how is it similar?
Yeah, that is that's a huge question.
And I told you it's going to be big.
Yeah, and it's one that
you
we talk
the
a
lot. Wayne.
I know, and we talk a lot about this with our students, especially those who are practicing therapists, and we do have a number of therapists who have come to coaching, and they've helped us too formulate what are the essential differences, and so. Let me just bottom line it here. Therapy, and in my view and my experience, therapy is useful when there's some kind of trauma present, emotional trauma of one kind or another, either from early onset traumatic experiences of some kind or current situational things that are far bigger than asking ontological questions will support. The person needs some relief now from something that's got them emotionally, spiritually, mentally immobilized. That's a good candidate for therapy and therapeutic skills that a trained person can support such a person in. In that sense, almost like peeling the onion until enough is uncovered that the person can get some resolution about whatever induced the trauma or whatever the trauma was about for them. Coaching, on the other hand, if we want to put these in a linear sense, coaching picks up where therapy leaves off in the sense that once I've got my psychological needs attended to, I'm in balance, then my field is clear to get some coaching. Because coaching is about looking forward to what's next and how can I maximize my life. Therapy is a lot of looking backwards at what needs to be repaired. That might be the simplest way to say it. Therapy fixes what's wrong in the past, from distant past to the moment ago. Coaching starts right now and looks at the moments ahead, of what's possible for me, of what promise and possibility do I see before me. Now, do the lines ever get crossed? Sure. What happens with me if I'm coaching and something out of the past comes up that I can see as a problem for the person? I just do a pretty quick evaluation. Is this something that's fairly simple and I can support this person in seeing it differently? Or is there something here that needs more attention than coaching can give it? And most of us learn after a short time where those lines are. So if I realize I can't really support the person, I'm not qualified, I'll refer them to a therapist often. Pastoral counseling kind of falls across that bridge where a certain amount of coaching and counseling can take place. But even as a minister, if I saw something beyond my capacity to deal with clinically, I would refer a person to a qualified therapist. It's interesting that both a therapist and a minister can use coaching skills, but a real good coach will never use therapeutic skills or even pastoral skills with a person, because that puts on a couple of different hats. When I say a therapist can use coaching skills, it's just that they incorporate those into how they therapize the client. But a coach who begins to therapize suddenly becomes seen differently by the client. I don't know if I can explain that exactly, except it only works one way. We don't want coaches practicing therapy. If they're qualified therapists, they need to stop coaching and put on the therapist hat and let the client be very clear. Better yet, refer them to a third party who's a therapist and never confuse the client about what you are, coach or therapist, because they really don't mix that well and clients get confused by it. So, yeah, it's an important thing, and it's something we stress. Did I make the distinction between coaching and therapy clear enough?
Oh yes, that was wonderful. One thing that I always mention is that a huge distinction between coaching and therapy is for in coaching, you often have measurable markers in terms of targets that you're looking to hit, and hit them really rapidly compared to therapy. You know, someone can be in therapy for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and that's not the same kind of thing with coaching. You know, especially a person doing action coaching, they're looking at results. In fact, I remember when Christine first introduced me to coaching years ago, she had a coach, I believe that was Linda Story, right, from Canada. And her model was she only believed in coaching you for 3 sessions, and that's it. And so because the point is she did a induction, and she looked at had you answered a series of questions, and then she worked with you, and then because it was about action. And so that, of course, that's not appropriate in every case, but that was an interesting model. And I said, there's no therapeutic model like that where they
can exactly.
It's like the, you know, drive-through pickup at the cleaners or McDonald's kind of thing. So that is very, very different. You know, it's very clear demarcation. And so, you know, I'm always, you know, emphasizing that what we do is coaching. We don't do any therapy. Okay, and so, in fact, I have a bright line, and I don't want to even get close to it because,
yeah.
You know, there are licensing issues involved, and so, you know, if you're doing therapy, you have to be licensed to do therapy, and so there really needs to be, like, clear demarcation. So you were great answering that. Let me ask you this question, Wayne. What should a potential client look for when they're seeking a coach, and what results can they expect from being coached?
Well, looking for a coach, probably still the very best way to find a coach is through a referral from someone who's been very happy with their coach. Like many service products, word of mouth is still probably the very best way to do that. Beyond that, finding out, is your coach certified in some fashion? Did your coach get training from a recognized training program? The thing about coaching, it's unregulated still. There's some activity in Colorado and California to have coaching regulated, much like therapy and hygienists and so forth are regulated. That hasn't happened yet. So anybody can say, hey, I'm a coach, put out their shingle, and start coaching. A client who really wants to be discerning in hiring a coach will find out some of this coach's background, what's their training history, a couple of referrals. They can talk to someone who's been coached by them, that sort of thing. And any competent coach will be happy to give a couple of names you can talk to. I always am. So that's looking for a coach. And in corporate coaching, which is a field that's growing stronger and stronger and stronger, many CEOs and C-level people are finding today that their training dollars are far better spent in coaching than what we used to call top-down training. In the old days, you had to get a coach as a punishment. You know, if you're messing up your assignments or whatever, they would throw you to a coach to fix you. That's changed in the last 15 or 20 years. Coaching today in a corporate setting is a perk. People who are accomplishing stuff get the benefit of coaching to take them to the next level, so to speak, and it's usually paid for by the company and so on. Those companies want to know for sure that you're legitimate, you have insurance, you know, you have all the requisites that they would be looking for in doing a hire. And so it's important today for a coach who wants to do corporate coaching to be certified, licensed, member of the International Coach Federation or a similar body and like that. So doing due diligence and finding out the coach's background is important for persons or companies. What they can expect and sometimes the revelation is pretty sudden for people, but that suddenly they start seeing both themselves and their circumstances in ways they were never able to before. And that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Part of the coach's job is to support a client in seeing things differently. no matter what that thing is, and to begin to see past the doubts and fears and worries, begin to see promise and possibility. And when a coach is successful in supporting a client and seeing that, that's revelatory to most people who experience it sometimes for the first time. Suddenly seeing promise and possibility they've never seen before. It's amazing what people can do when they see that. Suddenly, what was unthinkable yesterday becomes not only thinkable today, but doable. And the next action seems to become clear. You know, it's like one of my favorite stories, metaphors Maria uses is, you know, we're driving in the fog on a narrow two-lane country road. We're just driving along in the fog, driving in the fog, and suddenly the fog lifts, and there's a 2-ton lumber truck about 200 yards down the road, and we're in his lane, right? We're on that side. Do we stop and ask ourselves, okay, how did I get to this lane? Or do we ask ourselves, I wonder if my parents taught me, am my parents teaching me to drive? Is that how come I got over here? We don't ask any of those kind of questions. We get the heck over. You know, once we see clearly where we are, we know instinctively what to do. And that's so true with most people in most coaching situations. Once they see where they are, they will know what the next smart thing is. And I rarely have to prompt people about what action to take. The action becomes clear when the landscape becomes clear. And most often, I have a sign. I'm looking at my sign over my door. It says, it is what it is. And I don't want that. That's not a fatalistic thing. It's recognizing what is so. Because I'm thinking how much of my life I spent wishing it were some other way. Guess what? It's not some other way. It's what it is right now. And so seeing clearly what it is right now is so useful for us because then we can take some action to change what is now once we see what it is. So it is what it is. I want to learn to see that clearly so that I know what step to take toward my goal or my dream. And that's what a person can expect from a competent coach is beginning to see the landscape of their lives in such a way as they can begin to really navigate the playing field of life toward their goals and not be delayed by any debris on the playing field.
That's extraordinarily put, Wayne. I really appreciate hearing that answer, and I know our audience does too. You know, there have been so many changes in coaching through the years, and I know part of my journey when I've sought out a coach is, you know, is this person a good match for me? What are the criteria that I look for to see if, you know, is this going to work? Because sometimes I have gotten that personal referral and I've looked at, you know, the literature and I get there and, oh my gosh, where's the door? So in this coaching experience, because I think that has happened to people, and, you know, it is such a broad landscape out here of coaches. It's changed. You know, there was a time where no one knew what a therapist was, and then everybody heard therapist, and everybody had a therapist. And then no one knew what a coach was, and now everybody has to have a coach. But as you said, in finding a trained coach and in knowing what it is that you expect from this relationship, what's the outcome, and you know, what are the parameters? When someone goes into this, is there a safe checklist that they know, or, you know, to get out the door quickly if this is the wrong place or the wrong thing?
For the client to get out quickly if it doesn't work for them?
To get out quickly. You know, I heard about this coaching thing. It's great. I looked at this coaching. My friend told me about this person, and I'm here, but I don't know what's happening here, and I think I need to get away.
Okay.
Is there something that you look for when you're in a coaching relationship with a coach, you as a client, that you'd say, I don't think this is right? You know, for someone to get out sooner rather than to say they're in this training program with this great coach and whatever was promised or supposed to happen is not happening. What are the fail-safes for a potential client?
Let me approach it from the coach's perspective, and a client is saying that to me, that it isn't working for them. first of all, one of the things that has to happen is this intangible thing we call chemistry. There needs to be some chemistry, I think, between any two people who have any kind of relationship. And the more intimate the relationship becomes, the more that chemistry has to work. And there's a certain kind of intimacy between coach and client where it's important that there be some chemistry there that supports the relationship. So if that isn't present, I think both usually know it. And even though we have a contract I have clients sign a contract at the beginning, I don't enforce it myself when it comes to that, when that resolution needs to occur. If they want out, I let them out. If I want out, I just call it off and do any refunds that are necessary. That rarely happens. So in my practice, which is the only one I can speak to, there isn't anything programmed that would allow a client a way out once they've signed a contract, except I would simply let them out. I'm not interested in a demanding fulfillment of a contract when there's no product being generated. There's nothing happening for the client.
Beautiful. I think that
the contract is to be clear what we're agreeing to with each other.
Right.
But I don't enforce. You know, if we sign a contract for 6 sessions, the person has agreed to have 6 sessions with me, and after session 1 they see this is not right for them, I'm not going to challenge that.
Correct.
If they want me to keep the first session, that's fine. If they want it back, I give it back cheerfully, because I want to leave, whatever happens, I want to leave the client better than I found them. And if me being generous to a client who decides this isn't for me, being generous to them does a number of things. First of all, it means I sleep okay. Second of all, they're going to sleep better, I hope, and they're going to be in better shape for their next coach because of their experience with me, not penalizing them or, you know, being mean to them. Or they may come back to me in 3 months and say, you know what, I've been rethinking this. I'd like to get back together. So I want to always leave them better than I found them. So
I got to tell you, it's great when somebody comes back to you and they say, oh, I was a jerk. I was wrong. They go, I apologize. Isn't that wonderful? And you go, wow.
Yeah. And the best thing I can do is not be a jerk myself, you know, in that process.
No gloating, right?
No
gloating. Wayne, yeah. I have to tell you, can you repeat that story again about the lumbering truck coming down that you become visible? We actually, I believe we saw a Perry Mason episode or something like that where there was fog. But there is something about the story that you told and that I think is really critical, because what you said is that the moment of realization of the fog lifting, you see the truck and that you're on the wrong side of the road, and then what you said is that you don't spend any time saying, gee, you know, when my father taught me how to drive,
exactly.
he didn't do the hand signals right, and so that's why I'm in this lane. Or that in the past, you know, when the trucks came around the curve, they were closer to the shoulder. You don't spend any time. So if that distinction that you're making there, that is such a sharp, crystal clear example of what takes place in coaching in terms of how you're able to take the action. And I think that's as part of what when we met Maria, what she said, and when on the podcast we did with her, that what did she say? She says, tell the truth, and then take authentic action.
That's exactly right.
Have that up on one of our doors. So you look, all right, you see the truck, and then and tell the truth, which is that I'm not on the wrong side. And so I think that I just want to let you know I'm going to use that example, because that I think is an ontological standpoint. What it's really about, that, you know, are you feeling it? Can you feel the vibration of that truck coming towards you that you need to get out of there? And I think that applies to so many things.
It does, and here's what I didn't say about that. So, like, in the truck example, it's very clear. We see the truck, we get over. But let's go back to some something before us in life, some dilemma, some decision needs to be made. Let that stand for the truck. What a lot of us do in life is we ask those kinds of analytical questions. We'll ask, why did this happen to me? How did I get here? What's going on? Woe is me. We're doing all that. Meantime, the truck is coming because our dilemma isn't getting solved, and we become spiritual roadkill right on the spot, time after time, right? And so what I love about that metaphor is, okay, if I can really wake up and recognize the trucks that are there, the dilemma that I'm having, whatever it is, if I can recognize that, then I'll have a better chance of getting resolution if I see it for what it is. Wake up. Get the fog lifted. And sometimes when we get a few skills under our belt, we'll find ourselves in the fog, and we'll use some of our skills, get the fog lifted, and there's nothing there. We're on the right side of the road. All is well. But we didn't know that because we were asleep for a little bit. The fog was down. So the fog lifting, in fact, we had one of our coaches once who came through the academy, named her coaching business Fog Lifter Coaching. that was the name of, and it was great, Fog Lifter Coaching.
Well,
that's what it's about, lifting the fog in our lives, getting some more altitude above the situation is another metaphor I love. Getting altitude as a pilot, getting up where I can look down on it and see it differently than seeing myself stuck in it.
What I'm going to remember, Wayne, is that I definitely don't want to be spiritual roadkill.
No.
And one of the things that I love about Academy for Coaching Excellence, ACE training, is that you have classes that are for the person who wants to be a coach and just for a layperson.
Exactly.
I had said to Maria when we spoke with her that, this is something that should be in every elementary school. There's skills in life that would be very useful that are not really introduced to us, in our settings until there's some emergency or crisis and we need to find out how to get this done or to stop those voices in our head or, nobody told me how do I stop counting these tiles in the ceiling or how can I
exactly.
wake up in the morning and not be flooded with these thoughts of, life is terrible, I can't, everybody's after me. So when we learn skills that give us that strength to meet our day, to be on Joe Campbell's hero's journey with clarity, focus, ease, and grace, that's why I so enjoy the coaching industry. What this brings to the table is something I think that was there, as you said before, it wasn't for the rank and file, and now it's available to the masses. That's
it is,
the beauty of it.
And I have a notion, I don't talk about this much, but I have a notion that coaching might be our next best hope for some international harmony. Because it happens at the grassroots level, and if you look at you can go to the International Coach Federation site today and look at their global mapping. There are coaches in almost every country on the planet, except some of the really more repressive ones. There are coaches everywhere, and all about supporting people and seeing the very best outcomes they can get in their lives. That's huge. So I think the more that conversation happens among people, the more we're going to see borders start to dissolve. At least I hope that's true.
I hope so, too, because, Bob and I, we just really are about looking for solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Wayne, as we start to wrap things up here, I have a comment.
I thought we're not going all week.
I think we should. Okay,
well,
just for that, we're staying on the air.
I see that blind curve coming up in Carmel by the Sea. So maybe I want to make sure because it's a two-way. I need to slow down. So here's my comment. I want to thank you for the thing that you said that gave me some perspective. You said in the old days, which was 15 years ago, anything 15 years is old days, right? Now, so,
yeah, right.
In fact, anything 3 years ago is old days practically. But you made a very interesting point, which gave me some perspective. You said in the corporate world in the past, a person was sent to a coach to be fixed, and that was punishment. Whereas now, C-level suite behavior is coaching is so that you can step up to your really game so that you can be get your baseball average over 300 and over 350. And
exactly.
So what's really interesting is the way our society works is that in many venues, it's the winner-take-all kind of thing, that the difference between, well, who came in second place in the Super Bowl? And so what are the rewards? Who came in fourth place in the Olympics? Well, they don't get a medal at all.
Yep.
Who came in second place for the Wheaties box? Like, nobody cares. They just know that they're not on the Wheaties box. And so the difference between being able to make it to the next level is an order of magnitude, a logarithmic or exponential difference in terms of the value created. And so that's my first comment. I want to thank you for saying that. Coaching is now a reward rather than a punishment. And then, you know, before we were joking, but something that was brought to my attention was that you have some kind of signature saying when people ask you, how are you, you enjoy responding, I'm reasonable.
I'm reasonable.
We were laughing about that. So how did you develop that signature response, and what kind of response do you get from people when you use it?
I don't remember now when it happened. It happened first a long time ago. Someone, you know, like we always ask each other, how are you? And then we don't listen really to the response. I'm fine, how are you? That kind of thing. Somebody asked me how I was, and for whatever reason, I just said, I'm reasonable. How are you? And the guy just stopped. It was, I can't remember the setting now, but he just stopped and he looked at me and he grinned and he said, is that all? And I said, just reasonable? I said, well, look, I have tried reasonable. I have tried unreasonable. Reasonable works a whole lot better. Most people appreciate reasonable. And he laughed, we laughed. But I've done that ever since because it arrests that formulaic conversation that we often have. We how are you? I'm fine. How are you? We sort of get it out of the way. And it's fine. I mean, it's warm, and you know, it starts a conversation. But I just love to shake it up sometimes a little bit, and explain to people the value of being reasonable if they haven't thought of it lately. I'll be extraordinary later, but reasonable works right now. You know,
that's great. And so I was thinking about it. That's a really fast way to create state change. That, you know, a person. Could, you know, it would be like if somebody were in a daze and then you clapped your hands in front of them really fast, they'd have to snap their head up. And so
exactly.
The thing is that you take them out of their automatic response of I'm fine to what just happened? Did I miss something? And then now you have their attention. And that's very, very important in terms of being able to get results because the message can be heard and then digested. So, Wayne, I want to thank you for being our featured podcast guest today and for being on our show.
Well, my joy. I've loved this, every minute of it, and thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it so much.
You're very welcome, Wayne. This was just an extraordinary joy for me as well. Wayne, could you let our listeners know the best way that they could contact you or work with you or learn more about what you do?
Sure. I'd love for people to come by our Academy website. It's just acecoachtraining.com, acecoachtraining, all one word, .com, and you can read about Maria. You can see a little bit about me, Beth Ann Suggs, our Dean of Students, and some other great coaches. And, you know, just kind of cruise the website and see what we're up to. I think my contact information is available there. So, feel free if you... Anybody has any questions of me, I'll be happy to answer them if I can. If not, I'll try to find out what a good answer would be and certainly respond. So now just drop by acecoachtraining.com and see what we're all about.
Okay, thank you. So listeners, to get in touch with Wayne and learn more about the work he did and perhaps be in his class or be one of his coaches in training, check out acecoachtraining.com. That's acecoachtraining.com. Thank you,
perfect.
Wayne, for being on the show. Bob and I really enjoyed it, and I know our listeners did too.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you, Bob, very much.
Wayne, what final thoughts or key idea would you like our audience to take away from today's broadcast?
You know, if you ever have those conversations we were talking about earlier from, you know, it could be anywhere from mild to pretty angst-ridden. But, you know, there's something in your life that you've always wanted to do and you haven't done. You know, there's just some discontent going on. That's what coaching is all about. And I don't know, the older I get, the more I realize, if I haven't done it yet, when am I going to do it? And that's an important question we can all ask. So if you find yourself, folks, with something that's been nibbling around the edges for a long time that you've always wanted to do and you haven't done it, you've always wanted to learn, you haven't learned it, the song you didn't write, the interview you haven't gone to, anything like that, all of that is grist for the coaching mill. And a good coach will support you in seeing, first of all, what is it that's important to you, help you identify that in such a way you can begin to see how you could satisfy that importance and have it become visible in your life. I promise you that life will take on a whole different luminosity once we really start accomplishing the secret dreams and goals that all of us have that we aren't doing anything about. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be a small thing, but it holographically will impact your whole life. I promise you that. So give it a try. Find yourself a good coach and go for it. If you don't like the sessions, tell the coach and go find another one. We were talking about that earlier. But I think you will. Good coaches today have a way of supporting people that I think you'll find extraordinary.
Wayne, I'd like to thank you for being our featured guest today, and I know our audience has enjoyed listening to you. And I'd like to thank you, our listeners, for listening in, wherever you are and whatever time zone you're in right now. We welcome and look forward to receiving your comments about our show. Please let us know if there are any topics you'd like to see us cover or a guest you'd like us to invite back onto the show. You can contact us through our website, and your feedback and your suggestions are welcome. Remember, listeners, if you'd like to experience the same benefits our coaching clients get with us and learn how you can get control of your schedule, including easy ways to dissolve your chronic pain, stress, and anxiety, then give us a call at 954-900-2179. Again, that's 954-900-2179. Mention that you heard our Stress Free Now podcast show, and your first session is absolutely free. Call today to schedule your appointment. For Christine Wright, this is Dr. Robert Wright Jr. of www.stressfreenow.info. Until next time, be safe and be well.